going live.
I'm ready when you are.
I think my recording.
You know I'm not ready, right?
Yeah, my recording is on.
You know
my
I'm definitely
been on this entire time.
You know I'm. Oh no. Oh, can you hear the air conditioner?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it bad? Like, do I need to turn it off?
No, you're good.
Okay.
We are live officially on YouTube now.
Is it bad? Gosh, 20 seconds on.
There we go. I muted it. I was hearing.
We're already burning time, Riley.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today we are talking about what does the Bible actually say about some of these topics. Sawyer found them from just watching random podcasts, I assume, like he normally does.
That does sum it up.
There's people preaching on some of these topics, and half these topics today aren't even in the Bible, so I'm not even 100% sure why they're preaching them, or why Sawyer wanted to go over them. So, but... You got anything? Or...
Alright. Yeah, so first of all, let me say, you were correct. I was just listening to random podcasts when I found this. And they happened to have a guest on this podcast, and his name was Steve Quayle. And he said things that were very, very unexpected, so I went to his website and learned that he believes some things that are quite unique. And that was kind of the inspiration for this episode. Was just to like go over some of the subjects that are more, I guess you call them more fringe or whatever, that people don't talk about quite as much, but there are still people that like that believe them and that, you know, talk about them. And just see what the Bible actually says about some of these subjects that most people just, you know, don't talk about or don't think about.
Yeah. So the first topic we're going to go over, we're going to be talking about the Nephilim in the Bible. From what I found, there's only two mentions, possibly a third. We don't know if the third one is talking, referring to the Nephilim or not, from what I've read. The two solid verses are Genesis 6:4 and Numbers 13:33. It's Ezekiel 32:27 that we don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if that's referring to the Nephilim or not. But basically what a Nephilim is, it's a mysterious being or people in the Bible who are described as large and strong. And the word Nephilim in Hebrew means giant. So it was referring to the Canaanites as Nephilim and whatnot. That's all we really have in the Bible from what I've read and whatnot. I've read the Bible verses straight up and that's all they have. So,
yeah. So this is one of the subjects we're talking about today. One of the only ones that actually is directly mentioned in the Bible. Believe it or not, and like he said, in Genesis 6:4, I just wanted to read that verse. It says, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." So basically, the Nephilim were the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. They're actually, however, like Riley said, we don't have much besides for that, but there's a lot of controversy as to what the phrase sons of God actually means. So there's like three basic views that most people hold. Like everyone that talks about the Nephilim pretty much falls into one of these three views. They hold one of these as to who the sons of God were in this passage. I won't try to say which of these three views is correct because the Bible doesn't say necessarily their exact identity. It doesn't like say, you know, this is what the Nephilim were. This is what the phrase the sons of God means. It doesn't say that. So there's three views. The first view is the fallen angel view. And so basically, this view holds that the sons of God in Genesis 6 were literal fallen angels that came down and had children with human women, and that these children that the fallen angels had with human women were the Nephilim. They were giants. The second view is that there was the same fallen angels again, but instead of actually just having children, they possessed human men and then had children with human women, offspring, the Nephilim then would have been 100% human, but they somehow would have inherited different traits or whatever from the angels who possessed the Father. And the third view is different in that it interprets the phrase the sons of God differently. Both of the other two views hold that the phrase the sons of God is referring to literal angels, or in their cases, fallen angels. The third view holds it to be just like a human. It's the Sethite view, and this view simply holds that the sons of God were descendants of the godly line of Seth, and that they had children with ungodly women, and that these offspring, which we've been called the Nephilim, followed after other gods and didn't worship God. And then they just believe that the giants mentioned later in the Bible, like you said, Numbers just came from some other place. Of these three, like I said, we don't know which one's right. They all are based in the Bible, at least, but the Bible doesn't say, like, which is correct. It doesn't explain who the Nephilim exactly were, or who they're, you know, what the phrase the sons of God means, so we can't know for sure. That's, like, the majority of people that believe anything about the Nephilim, that's what they hold to, so that's kind of just, it's probably one of those three, and that's all I had on that.
Yeah, I heard about the fallen angel theory, but I couldn't find anything about it in the Bible, because that's what I've always been told, is that, like, fallen angels came down, had babies with the women, whatever. But then when I was doing the research, I was just like, I couldn't find anything about it. I'm like, okay, so clearly that's not, like, proven or even, like, factual. Yeah. We don't know for sure. It could be happened like that, but we don't know, so.
Yeah, it's all speculation, honestly.
Yeah, so next topic we have is aliens. Mind you, there is no mention of aliens in the Bible. There's the word alien in certain versions, like, but when it refers to aliens, it's referring to people from another land, like how we would refer to immigrants or whatever. They're aliens to the nation of America where we live. Or I think there's one verse or something like that that has the word alienated, but that has nothing to do with aliens. But just because they're not in the Bible does not mean that they do not exist. I don't believe in aliens, but with how much creation God has, we honestly do not know.
So I had a little bit. Like you said, aliens is never mentioned in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, like, you know, aliens exist, or in the Bible that says aliens don't exist necessarily, because they just didn't think about it at that time. In our current culture, people have kind of become, like, obsessed with aliens. You got movies about aliens, TV shows, books, people just keep talking about aliens. There's hundreds of people that say they've seen aliens and UFOs. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of people that do believe that aliens exist. And so that's why I do believe this is one of the subjects that there is at least some merit to discussing what you can find in the Bible about it. The only thing, like, one of the only things I could find in the Bible that bears on the subject of aliens would be creation. So basically, the existence of aliens, the whole belief, for most people, boils down to a belief in evolution, and that might not make sense at first, but let me explain. Basically, what they believe is that evolution, biological evolution, is where life on Earth came from. And if you believe that biological evolution was the origin of mankind, then it's not that great a leap to say that it happened on another planet in another galaxy also, which is where how they can justify believing in aliens. However, in a previous episode, we talked about science versus Christianity, we saw very clearly that evolution is not true. So if evolution is not true, then that means any aliens would have to have been created by God. The Bible is clear that God created everything, so aliens have to be created by God, and that God created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The opening chapters of Genesis give us a very clear account of those 6 days of creation. And in those 6 days of creation, when God created everything there is, you never see him creating aliens. It never mentions God, like, it doesn't say, like, and God created it, beings on other planets. That never happens. And besides for the fact that the Bible never mentions aliens being created, which, if they were created, I feel like it would have been mentioned in Genesis, there's actually a few, like, more theologically based reasons why I don't believe aliens can exist. For the most part, when people are talking about alien life, they're talking about it visiting Earth or coming down to Earth, you know, like UFOs and all that. But in order for aliens to be able to travel to Earth, there's a few things they would have to have. One is the ability to think. They'd have to be able to reason. They'd have to be able to create and to have social interaction. And all of these are characteristics of beings created in the image of God. If these extraterrestrials were created in the image of God, then there's a lot of different questions you have to ask. Romans 8, 18 through 25 speaks of how all creation was corrupted when Adam sinned. Would this have to apply to alien life? Did they get their sin nature from someone on another planet, Adam, that they probably don't even know exists? And if they have a sin nature, then that means they would need a savior. Did Christ's death on Earth atone for their sins as well? Did Jesus have to be born, live, and die on every single planet? But Hebrews 10:12 teaches us that Christ only died once for sin. Christ could not have died on, like, 12 different planets for 12 different races of beings that are alien. I mean, if you believe in aliens on other planets, it ultimately does great harm to everything the Bible teaches about sin and salvation. These are just a couple different, like, simple inferences you can find just from barely, like, I didn't spend that much time, honestly, for this, for what's normal for respawning for podcasts. I didn't spend as much time as usual studying this because I didn't have to study that far into this to find so many different things that make it me think that alien life can exist. Obviously, I do not believe that alien life exists. I don't believe the Bible allows for that. Because, like I said, when Adam sinned, all creation was corrupted. And that would have to include alien life if it existed. And Christ only died once for sins, so he couldn't go to other planets to die for their sins as well. And so either aliens were live on their planet, and then they receive their sin nature from an event that happened, you know, a couple thousand light years away, and then they get saved up because of an event that happened, you know, on another planet a couple thousand light years away, or aliens would just have to not have the ability to get saved or something like that. I think those types of questions tend to make me think that aliens cannot exist, at least according to the Bible.
Well, that's just assuming that aliens are human-like creatures.
Intelligent.
Aliens could be like non-intelligent creatures, like a dog or something.
And yeah, I was more focusing on the intelligent life side of things. Yeah, ones that would be able to travel, like to build ships and travel.
Yeah. I've never really been on the board with aliens thing, but I do believe there might be other creatures out there or whatever. So that's all we really had on that. Next topic is somewhat related to the Nephilim, according to Steve
Quayle. A little bit, yeah.
It is Bigfoot. I never thought I'd have to talk about this on any podcast of any sort.
You don't really. I didn't either. So.
When Suri sent me the topics, I was just like, what? But, anyways. I found three theories about Bigfoot, of how he might exist, that are Bible-based. Here are the three theories, and I'll say what I believe afterwards. There are three theories about Bigfoot. The first one is they are Esau's descendants. There was something along the lines of it being, like, against Israel or whatever, but that wouldn't have any effect about why they would be Bigfoot. But they believe he's Bigfoot because Esau was hairy, so they took on his hairy traits and whatever. And that's how Bigfoot was created. But that just doesn't seem reasonable, because you don't see stuff like that at all today. People inheriting almost exact traits or more traits from their parents. The second theory is Cain, where he said that, where God told him that he'd be a restless wanderer for the rest of his days, and so they think it is just Cain walking around and everything. And I know, didn't you mention that on one of Steve Quayle's podcasts or something like that, where he mentioned that they can build, little rings with rocks or whatever and teleport around or whatever, something like that?
Yeah, that he did mention. Steve Quayle did say that once, that they can use stargates, and I'm really not not sure where that came from.
I don't know either. That's just bizarre. But the third theory is that Bigfoot is a Nephilim, or a new breed, or a descendant of the Nephilim. And I don't really believe in Bigfoot at all, anyways. But this I have no words for this. There's no Bible backed for this at all, so there's no reason to be preaching on Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah, I obviously don't believe in Bigfoot either. Let me just say, that's the same three views I had found, so it must be the only three there are. I did want to say that I do have a couple of reasons. Like, for the one about Esau, that it was the descendants of Esau, that one's probably the easiest of the three to say, hey, this is impossible. The Bible says in Obadiah 1:18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. So obviously, they can't be the descendants of Esau, because the Bible says that all the descendants of Esau were destroyed. So that eliminates the first one. As far as the second one goes, I couldn't find as much on this one, except for the simple fact that in order for it to work, because I don't even know where this view came from, that it's just like Cain himself, that he's just immortal for some reason. When you're reading the text of the Bible, there's nothing to indicate that Cain was made immortal when God said, you shall, what was the quote? Be like a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, Genesis 4:14. There's nothing there that says you shall live forever and wander the earth for eternity. So I just don't know where like they get that from. And as far as the Nephilim go, there isn't much I had on that one, like showing why that can't be true either. I'm just not sure. That one would probably be the hardest to believe anyways. And it just, there's just so much speculation involved in saying that the Nephilim mentioned twice in the Bible became the Bigfoots that people claim they see today. You just have to make a huge jump with no biblical support. And I also want to point out that all three of these views have one thing in common, and that is they're trying to take, everyone that says these views is trying to take something they already believe, in this case Bigfoot, and they're trying to force it into the Bible. And so they're taking a belief they already hold, and they're trying to force it in the Bible instead of taking the Bible and taking their beliefs from the Bible, if that makes sense. And the simple fact is, aside from the biblical evidence, I don't believe Bigfoots exist, honestly, because, I mean, there are hundreds of personal accounts and blurry photos that they're trying to say prove Bigfoot, but there aren't any, like, no one's ever caught a Bigfoot. First of all, there's not, like, you can't just go see a captured Bigfoot, and there really aren't any verifiable, like, clear, obvious photos of a Bigfoot, and that's with dozens of people having their lives dedicated to trying to find one. And so I would be disinclined to believe it anyways. But yeah, as far as the what they put forth as biblical evidence goes, I don't think any of it supports what they say it does.
I just did a quick search on the Cain one, because I was just wondering for the verse. There's no verse to back up what they said about Cain being a restless wonder or whatever.
Yeah.
But I did find this funny story of a guy supposedly meeting Cain in 1835. So.
Wow.
I don't know. Right, then. But, yeah.
There you go. Verifiable evidence that Cain is still alive, people.
He right met him there. On the road. Oh, could have just had the name Cain, and he just met him and assumed he was Cain from the Bible. You never know.
Yeah, it seems like there'd be more people in the world named Cain than just the one.
Yeah.
Or it was just, that guy was just playing a prank.
Honestly, could be.
A prank that has lived on.
1835.
Prank that's still held up 100 years later.
Next topic. No mention in the Bible. No biblical backup.
Don't even try to find
the idea for this even came from in general history at all. It's zombies.
Yep.
Where did the idea of zombies come from? I don't know, but it's not the Bible.
No, it is not.
I got nothing. I really have nothing for this.
So, I didn't really have much. Honestly, I think the whole thing with zombies is similar to happened with aliens. It's that our current culture kind of like popularized it through movies and books and TV shows, and then everyone knows what it is because it's like everywhere. Like, you can go anywhere and you can find stuff about zombies or whatever. And so the short answer, like Riley said, is according to the Bible, do zombies exist? The short answer, and the only answer I have, is no, it does not. The Bible never mentions bodies being reanimated and, you know, trying to eat people's brains or anything like that. Some people try to point to evidence at places like when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, like places like that where there's resurrection.
Yeah.
They try to say, see, that'd be a zombie.
However, I'm in the middle of the podcast. Give me a second.
There is a big difference between a resurrected person and a zombie. When you're resurrected, there's at least the implication that your soul is returning to your body, that you're not just, you know, like a dead body. Like when Jesus called Lazarus back from the dead, Lazarus didn't like stay in paradise or whatever and have his body come up and just do its own thing. Lazarus returned to his body. Whereas with zombies, generally in pop culture, it's more like the belief that the soul has left the body and the body reanimates itself and is acting on its own. And the Bible just, besides when they try to say that resurrections are evidences for zombies, there's just absolutely nothing in there. And that's all I got.
Apparently, because I was just curious now that we came to this topic, zombies came from Haiti. That is where the idea of zombies came from.
I think I knew that, actually. I think I heard that somewhere.
And the fact that it came from Haiti and was never like mentioned any time before, like we discovered Haiti, just kind of proves that zombies are never Bible-based. So
yeah.
Because you would think that when the Bible first came out, that people would have discovered it then, but anyways.
Well, I mean, and the people that try to say zombies exist, they don't even try to point to the Bible. Like, there's no verse they try to twist to say the zombie contest.
Yeah, there's... Well, actually, I found a few people trying to twist some verses, but I'm like, that's not what they're trying to say.
Yeah. The only ones I found were when...
the apocalyptic, what do you call it? The prophecies about the end of times. That's where they say it's from, but...
Yeah. The only ones I didn't find any of those. I did find a couple people trying to say that the resurrections were zombies, but that also... Well, I just...
Technically, that's what we call zombies these days, so...
Yeah, but that's not how that works. That's just not...
So, I didn't know what you wanted me to do with this next topic.
To be entirely honest, I don't know what I want me to do with this next topic.
The next topic is AI. I didn't know what Sawyer wanted me to do with this next topic when he sent me it, but everyone knows what AI is. It's a big thing going around these days.
Yeah.
People fear that it might like make robots that take over the world or whatever. Some people are like thinking it can be big advancements and whatnot. I feel like that it could be a good thing as long as we use it within reason, because like certain things, like certain things you don't want to use it for, like you don't want to use it to create art, because that's the whole point of art, is to have a personal creative idea, making up stories or writing dialogue or something like that. You don't want to use it for... you can use it for other things, but you don't really want to use it for creative stuff. You can use it for like manual labor, I think they're trying to get it into, and like get rid of the factory workers and whatnot, but like the creative things you don't want to use AI for. But all I have for the notes here is, while a tool may be used for evil, it can also be used for God. How you would go about using AI for God, I honestly don't know, but use that creative mind of yours.
Yeah. So this was surprising. A while ago when I was studying for this today, I looked up what the Bible says about artificial intelligence, and they pulled up the verse Joshua 7:2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to AI. And I don't know the context, but I'm pretty sure the Bible is not talking about artificial intelligence. Anyways, so of all the subjects that we studied that we're doing today, like that we're looking at, this is... AI is probably the most relevant because it's so like popular now, like everyone uses AI for everything. And so I feel like it's kind of getting more and more important to try to discuss at least a little bit how you can apply the Bible to AI and all that. I would like to say that AI is not inherently wrong. Some people... I've heard people that said that AI is evil and all that. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest that something like artificial intelligence is inherently evil in and of itself. It is not the technology that's evil, it is what you do with it that can be evil.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says to do all to the glory of God. Even AI and artificial intelligence can be used to bring glory to God. And there are ways you can do that. And so by the same token, as with any technology, you can also use it for evil. And so I think with stuff like that, like technology, like it goes for any technology. You can talk about computers, cell phones, the internet, artificial intelligence, any of them. It can be used for God and to bring glory to God, or it can be used for evil and to bring glory to self and to bring glory to immorality and sin. And so you have to be careful. I also wanted to clarify, because some people... I've seen a couple people that are talking about this, that artificial intelligence... no one will ever create artificial intelligence that is truly smarter and more creative than humans. God created us in his image, and as such, we are unique creatures, and man will never be able to recreate that technology.
Yeah. The next topic is somewhat relevant today, and it wasn't until I was doing some extra studying today while I was waiting on Sawyer, that I found out transhumanism, which basically, that's a hard thing to describe. Confused. I should have put the definition down, but,
yeah.
I found out today that it is actually a religion. People believe that the Bible influenced transhumanism, but when I was reading through the document or website that said this, one of the things they were using a Bible verse basically saying that we could become God, and that is where I stopped reading it, because I'm like, there's no valid way you can say that transhumanism and Christianity can go together if that's what the transhumanism religion believes. So
yeah.
All I have for this is we are creating God's image, each of God's perfect, each God's perfect creation. Though sinful, God has made us this way for a reason. So there's no reason to artificially improve ourselves, because when I was looking, doing some research or whatever, basically what it sounded to me was kind of like improve, like, you know, I think, I can't remember what movie it's from, but there's a movie where they would have special genes that would implant in the babies that would make them stronger, faster, smarter, taller, whatever. And that's what I got from that, but there's no reason to do that when we are God's perfect creation. He'll create us how we are. That's not saying that you shouldn't go work out or go for a run or whatever, but that's just what I got from that.
Yeah, so transhumanism is an odd subject. It's so, when I looked at it, transhumanism, part of it is an attempt by modern science to alter humans' genes and physiology to make them better, stronger, and in some cases they are even attempting to try to give humans immortality, like you won't die, you'll live forever. These goals, however, how they attempt to achieve these goals is anti-biblical. As modern technologies advance, science is attempting to bring about what they call the next evolution of humanity. And so this also comes down to whether or not you believe in biological evolution. They believe that we evolved, obviously, like millions of years ago or whatever, and that they're just trying to use technology to bring about the next stage of human evolution. As Christians, obviously, we talked about this in the past episode, like I've said like twice already in this episode. We talked about how why evolution is wrong in a past episode. And so we know that evolution isn't true. And so they're not going to bring about another evolutionary stage for humanity because evolution never existed in the first place. I also wanted to say that, like you mentioned, Genesis tells us that we are created in the image of God. And so to try to change yourself in that way, like to change your genes to make you something you're not, would be wrong. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." God made us exactly how he wants us to be, and try to change that is wrong, regardless of what perceived benefits that may come from it.
Just to state again, we are not saying that you shouldn't go work out or whatever, but...
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Because, like, it's, you can always use that thing to keep your body in shape and whatnot, but, yeah, I think we already went over that in another podcast. But you were saying earlier about how they, like, one of their goals is just trying to overcome death. That flat out is unbiblical, because the only way to overcome death is through Christ Jesus, so...
Yeah, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die.
That is all we have for this podcast, and I'll let you do the outro.
All right, so that's all we had. This was a little bit, some of the subjects we dealt with today were a little bit stranger, but I believe that even when you're talking about stranger subjects, you can still, you know, use the Bible. You can try to show what the Bible says about any subject, because the Bible ultimately applies to pretty much anything. But that is all, so let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray to thank you for this day and to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this podcast. I pray that you will use it and that you will be with it, and that you'll just help anyone listening to it to just learn more about your word and learn more about you and grow their relationship with you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I did see you guys' comments on the previous episode, or not previous episode, but episode a few months ago where you guys wanted Peter back on. I will try to get him back on. I don't know whether we'll still talk about music or whatnot, but we're going to try and get him back on next month. And so, yeah, we'll see you guys then.
See you then.